Well, we're in chapter 17, 18 tonight, are dealing with Babylon the Great. And some of you have heard some of these things before, but verse 1 and 2, he says, this is what we're going to do. So, in verse 3, he carried me away in the Spirit. So it's going to be a spiritual interpretation. You're going to see through the eyes of the Spirit. Into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet, which is bright red, of course, a scarlet-covered beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, this appears to be the structure that the Antichrist is using. So she is a system that the Antichrist is going to build from, and we're going to see it turns into a religious system to deceive the people. It is man worshiping power. It's man worshiping self, making the system that the devil designed so powerful to deceive everybody, but that people would worship him and his system. So it's all fake. So here we get this picture of horns, which is important for us to look at. She's sitting on this beast. He has seven heads, which a head is a kingdom, ten horns, so now it has a powerful ten nations that are under seven leaders. They just had what's called the G7 meeting this week. The G7 is the seven most powerful governments in the world. There's also a G10 and a G20, and now gee whiz, because Iran has just signed with China and Russia, and Saudi Arabia, that controls a lot of the oil. And they are breaking the world away and meeting. The last 2 weeks, they've been meeting with France, Venezuela, all over the world to break away from the U.S. dollar, which will collapse the United States. And this system of heads and horns is popping up right in front of our eyes. So he's going to reveal it all. The woman was arrayed in purple, and purple is the color of royalty, and scarlet color, decked with gold, precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So now we get this flashy, glitzy-looking picture. A lot of flash, a lot of bling. And in the book I mentioned to you last week, The Two Babylons by Mr. Hyslop, the Babylonian Empire was one huge empire. Nebuchadnezzar ruled over it for quite some time. And then he got proud, just like this system is. And he stood on his balcony one morning and says, behold, Babylon, Babylon, the great that I have birthed. I'm in control of it. And the Lord laughed at him. He said, this day you'll spend 7 years of your life, seven seasons, rolling in the grass with the beasts of the field and the dew of the early morning. And your hair will grow out like eagle's feathers, and your fingernails will look like bird claws. You'll go totally insane. And all of a sudden, he lost his mind. He ended up losing his kingdom. He lived out in the wilderness. He never took care of himself, and he looked like a beast. He looked like a wild, crazy animal. And then he cried out, and God touched him and gave him his mind back, gave him his power back, gave him his kingdom back, and he began to praise the Lord. It always reminds us that what you think is going well right now could change within an instant if our heart is not right. And if it's the best thing for God to poke you in the heart and say, I want to talk to you, then let him do it. You don't want to go the other direction. So this woman, her name was Semiramis. She was married to Nimrod. Nimrod is in the book of Genesis. They had a son named Tammuz. And Tammuz was a bad guy. He was born on December 25th. Semiramis said she was a virgin in that she was the mother of God. And they started a religion around Tammuz, and he was a sex image. He was a hunter. His father was a hunter. He was a hunter. And it says that Easter time, we get Easter, he was mauled by either a bear or a lion and was dead and out of everybody's reach for 3 days and three nights. He came back alive, came out of the wilderness, and they started the Easter season, the spring season. So then they started worshiping eggs being colored and rabbits. And whatever, bunnies and colored eggs, doesn't make any sense. But both mean prolific and multiplying. Rabbits, if you've never had a couple of rabbits, thank God. If you understand the colored painted eggs and all that, it's all to worship the system and the guy that somewhat started it. The sad thing is, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, right around maybe verse 10 or 12, somewhere in that area, it mentions it looking at the house of the Lord, and he's speaking also about the end times, that the women were worshiping an idol of Tammuz and weeping over him. And God judged it because of the sexual, lustful attitude of the people in the house of the Lord. And it's very sad how this is so subtle, but the devil has met his match in God, and it's going to all stop. So she holds a golden cup, and you'll see pictures from early art of a woman, and she will be arrayed in beautiful robes. She'll be sitting there holding a golden cup. You can see it on coins. And this is what he's now saying, is that it's full of the fornication of her blasphemy and all the horrible things, the filthiness of her self. But it looks like she's really together and drinking some fancy wine. Upon her forehead was a name written, and this is it: Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Stop right there. That tells you a bundle. Mystery Babylon. Okay, we accept it's a mystery. We understand Babylon. But this is Babylon the Great. It is the mother of all abominations and spiritual harlotry on the earth. Whatever this system is the root of all the evil on the planet today. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now this system hates Christianity. This system hates Jewish people. Isn't that interesting? He started the Old Testament teachings about the Jewish people, and they were his chosen people. And he gave them his promised land. But then he starts judging them because they go away and they get involved in the world system. Then he brings up the cross, forgiveness of sins, but he gives an opportunity for people like you and me to call out to his name, and he'll save us, and he'll forgive us, and he'll heal us, and give us a fresh start in life. And this system, much like, I've been to Cuba, I've been to, not North Korea, been to several communist countries, and I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of Christians. I think one young man came through China, and we met him in Burma, now Myanmar. And he had a scar from his cheekbone on down to his chin. I was 34 or 5 years old at the time. He was probably that or maybe a couple of years younger than me. He had walked 2 weeks through the jungles to get from China to meet us in Burma. 2 weeks he walked. And he gets there, and we were in a hut that was on stilts. And that hut had a family in it, and that was maybe 6 people. There might have been in this hut for 6, so there might have been 25 of us that day. And they had people posted at each end of this dirt road. So if the secret police or anybody came, they could give signals and everybody be out of that place. So I'm listening to his story, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Well, we were there to get 1 million Bibles into China, It took two 747s. It took a couple of speedboats to come off of the big boat, the tugboat. Took a tugboat. Took a submergible barge. And then all the Bibles wrapped. And then the barge was taken to a beach and then sunk when the tide went out. And 20,000 Christians from China came and got all those Bibles. They picked up in backpacks. They had boxes. They had bicycles, tricycles. I think one guy could have had a unicycle. They were going to get these Bibles no matter what. I mean, they would go to jail if not be killed, caught with this whole operation going on. And we were meeting him because he had 1,000 fellowships that he personally had started in overseas that he would go to these towns. So they catch him and arrest him one day, and they tell him they're going to kill him. But if he will stand up in the city town square and tell all the people that the Bible is a lie and that there is no God, there is no Jesus, then they'll let him go free. And he said, I can't do that. And they said, well, you better do it. So he got up and he said to this town, I don't know how many hundreds of people, but he said to them, they have promised me I could live if I told you that Jesus and the Bible are a lie and there's no God. But that's a lie. There is a God, and Jesus is his son, and he died on the cross for your sins, and he'll forgive you of your sins if you'll just confess your sins. And they hit him, kicked him, hit him with a rifle butt, and it split his face open. Never did have one stitch put into it, so it was pretty gnarly looking. I sat there looking at him, and we'd given him all sorts of Bibles, and I had one small one in my jacket, and I waited till the end. And I said, I want to ask you a question. I handed it to him. As he took it, I pulled my tug of war, and he realized I was just checking him out. So I said, what happened to you after that? Well, they put me in prison. And then what? They had to move me from the prison because I led everybody in my cell block to the Lord. And they put me in another cell block, and I led them to the Lord. So they moved me to another one. And finally, they said, get away from us. We don't ever want to see you. And that's what I was so touched by his zeal for the gospel. And then I let go of the Bible, and he said, I need to ask you a question. Yes, sir? Is it true? Now, this would have been 1976, somewhere in there. He said, is it true that in America, the young men and women are using drugs? I've just heard this story, and he's concerned about the young men and women in America. I said, yes, sir, it's very, very true. Not anything compared to what's going on today, but it was bad in the 70s. And he said, would you go back to America and tell the young men and women the Christians in China are praying for them? Now, there's a real Christian. I've met hundreds, if not thousands, of people like that that have suffered and show the scars for suffering for Jesus. And so this system comes along and it grabs us in Sunday school or somewhere that's twisted the gospel. It gets us in preschool, gets us in some kind of public education, and it lies to us. And so we grow up because our parents grew up and their parents grew up with the system. So that when it says drunken with the blood of saints, that's going on right now around the world. Many of your brothers and sisters on the Arabian Peninsula are tortured. North Korea, tortured, tortured, tortured. So I saw her. I wondered with great admiration, what's he talking about? The angel said to me, wherefore do you marvel? Why? Well, I'll tell you the mystery. The woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is he's not here now, but he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So he's coming out of hell. He was at one time, he's not right now, but he shall come out of the bottomless pit. And then he will go into perdition for hell, torture for eternity. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, who are these people that will wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which has wisdom. So if you don't have God's wisdom, and you don't understand how much God loves you, you'll be trapped. And they're talking about maybe weeks or months, not years anymore, of the whole thing collapsing. Everybody's going to say, well, I want to eat food. Well, you have to have a mark on your right hand or your forehead. We don't know who you people are. That's strange when we've let millions come across our border and we don't know who they are. And there's thousands of little boys and girls from South America that are missing and our government doesn't even know where they are. They've been sold into sex slavery, human trafficking. I remember seeing a U.S. congressman go to Oklahoma to a detention center where several hundred children being kept. And he and his staff showed up and the guard would not let him in. He said, I'm the congressman of the United States of America from this area. You open the gate now, Buster. He said, sorry, you're not coming in here. That was under the Obama administration. There's thousands of kids. You think God's not going to judge America? We've gone way, way over the top. We've gone too far over the line. The beast that you saw was and isn't, and here's the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Well, we know that Rome was the city of seven hills. Now, some argue and say, well, the word in the Greek language is mountains, not hills. Okay. There are seven kings. Five have fallen, and one is. So, five have fallen, okay, they're gone. But one's alive. The other, number seven, is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue just a short space. So there's some sort of a leader that's connected somehow with this part of the world. And it says, the beast that was, is not, even he is the eighth. He's of the seven. He'll go into perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings. Now notice this. Which have received no kingdom as yet. So they have power as a king, and it seems to be a number that it's a unified area. In the 70s, when the European Common Market came into being, and there were 10 nations, prophecy buffs were saying, that's it, right there, it's Europe. Then you take the seven hills of Rome, and you begin thinking, okay, so we can understand. I don't know that we've got it down yet, but we can understand that a part of the world is all going to be the central part of it. But just like this, where's America? Why isn't America anywhere in Bible prophecy? Most powerful nation in the history of the world. Financially, militarily, technologically, on and on, on and on. We're not going to be here. Now, if the Lord were to say tonight it's all over with, we're going to heaven. So we can figure these things out, or we could say we're not going to worry about it. Either way. These have one mind. The ten horns which you saw are kings but have no kingdom. Otherwise, the political structure has not been set up yet, but shall receive power for 1 hour with the beast, so the Antichrist. So he's going to take these ten powerhouses and they're going to control the world for him. Now, there is a book that's been out for a long, long time, and it talks about the division that's going on in the world now. It's been out for 3 or 4 decades. And it talks about 10 different separate areas. You notice we have a broken border? Does anybody even know that? You know that. Come on, give me some life here. All right. Okay, it's broken. Broken borders. Broken borders, Ezekiel 7, God says to his disobedient children, I shall judge the four corners of your land. Broken borders are judgment from God. So now, you go back to the President Bill Clinton era, and we find out they signed some law called NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. North American Free Trade Agreement. That was the beginning of Canada, the United States, and Mexico being one of the 10 regions. And you look around the world and see how the coalitions have come together. There was supposed to be no borders. So Russia and China just come over and go into Venezuela, and millions of people were killed in the last few years in Venezuela and starved to death. And we lost all of our American investment in oil, and China and Russia took it over. And now, with all the poverty that communism has brought, ships are coming from Iran and delivering oil and going back to Iran with shiploads of gold bullion from the treasury of Venezuela. They've signed agreements in the last few days. This has been going on for some time, but they're now coming out in the public and say, we're going to collapse America. It takes 18 minutes for a missile to go from Venezuela and hit the harbor in San Diego. You know, there were three, on Sunday, there were three United States aircraft carriers in our harbor. But then you take the submarine base of all the nukes on the Point Loma side, and you take just a strategy. When Bill Clinton was president, he gave the Chinese Long Beach Harbor. What? When people found out about it, they cut that deal off the news, and they're in Mexico, south of Ensenada, digging their own deep port. See, there's things going on that have nothing to do with we the people, but the system is so powerful, and the devil knows his time is getting short. He's just ripping the Constitution up and ripping people up. You and I are the ones that God can use to rescue the victims called boys and girls, teenagers, grammys and grandpas, parents who have no idea about anything, by simply giving the cross to them and telling them what Jesus did on the cross, like for you and me, and let their hearts change. And the rest of this big picture stuff really doesn't matter. It's about you and I have been forgiven. How are we going to now live? What is our life and our language and our vocabulary and our attitude and our heart? What's it going to be like? Are we real Christians or are we phony balonies? It's a big picture, but it's ugly. It's eternal. And you and I have the answer to help these people that are all around us wherever we go every day. So that's the first part. The second part is chapter 18, and I'd like to point some things out there. First, let me go back to verse 12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. They haven't received their kingdom. These have one mind. And they shall give their power and their strength to the beast. They're going to just sign everything over. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called chosen and faithful. That's you. The people that are going to come back, the armies of heaven are going to come back. The 10 horns which you saw, the beast, these shall hate the whore. So that system's going to turn against the system, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Well, at that time, Rome was that great city that reigned over the earth. And some people say, well, it can't be Rome. Others say, most absolutely, it is Rome. Seven hills, and it's the kings bowed to Rome at that time. And these things I saw, after these things, remember one of the first things I taught you the first night was the key, meta tauta. Do you remember that, anybody? The three words, meta tauta, means after these things. And it's a sequence of events that takes place. So you just saw a major event take place. And next week, our last week together, we see the glory of God in heaven and the angels and us in our new bodies. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And what a way to end the Bible of what we're going to be doing. Now, chapter 18 has 24 verses. Verses 1 through 8 will deal with the fall of Babylon, the great, The mystery is revealed in the previous chapter. And then in verses 9 through 20, as I read it, you can take notes. It shows us how the world weeps over the destruction of its system and its headquarters. The worldly people that rejected God all the way through the tribulation that I pointed out to you, they're still going to weep because the devil's not around anymore. That's so sad. So as it weeps, verses 21 through 24, it brings the worldly system to an utter destruction. The worldly system is not going to be remembered ever again. The destruction is proclaimed by a mighty angel. So let's just look at that. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, not just power, but great power. The earth was lighted with his glory. Is that amazing? And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication with her, here's the second part of that key, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Kings, political power, merchants, the dollar. Sickening. I heard another voice from him saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. Get out of the system, that you receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven. And God sees the sins of our country tonight, and they're wicked. 65 million American human beings, babies, have been aborted. You don't think he's not looking at that in a different light? I think he is going to judge for what we have allowed to happen. Come out of her so you don't receive her plagues, for her sins have reached heaven and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup, there's that cup again, which she has filled to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and I shall see no sorrow. I'd like you to underline those three things, because that's the judgment from Isaiah 47. In Isaiah 47, Isaiah sees what you're reading right now, and Babylon was in power, and Babylon said statements like, I sit like a queen and I'm more powerful than any nation in the world and I will never lose anything. And God says those same words, in an hour, you're going to lose it. Now, we don't know where this headquarters is, but we can surmise some things. So when it all gets to God in heaven, he's got a plan. We have glorified ourselves. We're the richest nation. I don't know if you've gone to many nations that are poor, Bangladesh or India, different places around the world, that our poorest people are better off than anybody else in the world. Some of the homeless people are making $1,000 a year for being homeless. We have been spoiled. And that system used us as a people to destroy other places. And the same for Europe. And why are there nations on continents that are poor, and the big nations go in and buy their silver, their gold, they buy all their resources and keep the people poor? Just think of the system, how wicked it is, that we're not treated equal. And we are equal, even though our Constitution says all men are created equal. But we're not treated equal. And if you have money, you're treated one way. If you don't have money, you're treated a different way. You have a nice car, people wave at you. If you have a smoking taillight or tailpipe, people are going to say, get that junker out of here. You know, it's not how it's going to be in heaven. We're going to be in love, and we're going to be happy. So therefore, her plagues are going to come in one day. Isaiah 47 warned this. Oh, Isaiah said, stand now, with your prognosticators and your astrologers and your soothsayers and your sorcery. Sorcery is the word pharmakopa in the Hebrew, pharmakia, almost the same word in the Greek languages, two separate languages. Both mean drugs and witchcraft. So the use of drugs is witchcraft. Witchcraft uses drugs, but it can still do its craft without drugs. And so we've been under the witch's spell. And when I went to San Diego in 1974, I was introduced to somebody from ABC, and they wanted to know why 2,000 people were coming to a 1929 movie theater in a 1 or 2 year period of me being there. And so I tried to explain Jesus to him. Do you know that that man almost went insane? Not from talking to me, but he did an investigation after that. There were more witches' covens and witches in San Diego County than there were churches or clergy. And it's off the charts across the world right now. You are part of the answer. You are the salt of the earth. But Jesus said, what good is the salt if it loses its savor? It's good for nothing but to be cast down underfoot of men and trampled upon. You are good for something. You are excellent for something with the Lord. And He'll blow your mind. He'll take you places. He'll introduce you to people. You won't even know how you even got there. And you'll just tell them the Lord loves them and you're out of their office. And before you know it, you just talk to somebody that you would never, ever think. And I've been in that situation hundreds of times. And so I know God's going to use all of you. Next week will be our last time together. It breaks my heart. I've learned so much just being in your presence and getting to know many of you. But I want you not to beat yourselves up. You're in God's hands. And if you love Him and you'll say, yes, sir, He will pick you up and say, I'd like you to go over here. And it starts with picking up some cigarette butts. Maybe you're mopping or sweeping. And if you're faithful in the little, He'll give you more. And you just, okay, Lord. Somebody's going to come. They're going to test you. And I've been in situations where people come up and talk to me in some foreign country and I'm on a true mission. And I'll realize, this person's sitting here lying to me. Oh. I said, you're with the CIA, aren't you? What? Yeah, I know who you are. Get out of here. I'm not going to do your dirty work. And you'll get to discern when the devil's knocking on your door or calling you on the phone. And you don't need any of that anymore. You walk with the Lord. You walk closely with the Lord. Starting in the morning, opening up the Word of God and praying before you go anywhere. You let the Lord speak through His Word. And you'll never be the same woman or the same man. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication with her, live deliciously with her. They're going to begin crying, lamenting for her, and they shall see the smoke of her burning. Now look at this. This is why my heart fears for our country, and I'm going around the country. Standing afar off from the fear of her torment. Torment? You don't want to be close to it. Is it radioactive? Is it some disease or plague that some organization has released, like COVID? Why are they afraid of some torment? Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is your judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise any more. There's not too many places in the world that are like this. The merchandise of gold, merchandise of silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, thyan wood, all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and brass, and iron, and marble. Doesn't that sound familiar, guys? Sounds like our country. There's no country that has all this in present day. Cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour, wheat, animals, beasts, sheep, horses, cars, chariots, slaves, and souls of men. When I first read that in 1970, I said, well, that's not America. But then I became a reserve police officer and I started finding out we've been selling souls for a long time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say that as an American. I've debriefed two teenagers in northern Iraq that were kidnapped on the same street, the same day. They grew up together. One was 16, the other was 15. And ISIS had grabbed them and sold them. They beat these girls 10 men at a time, would rape each one of them. When I heard their stories, and I just say, you don't need to tell me the details, I understand. No, we got to tell you details. One girl had memorized the address of a house where her sisters, two sisters and her mom, were being held. These animals were raping grandmothers, little girls, on and on and on. I told the Navy SEALs that I was with, if you have a rifle, I'll go out and shoot with you guys because you're coming into breakfast awful late. And you're either out drinking or shooting or doing both. I won't do the drinking, but these are animals that are doing these atrocious things. And this SEAL said to me, who was protecting our team, said, you'd do that? And I said, yeah, they don't deserve to be alive. And I walked two or three steps and I stopped and I said, no, I wouldn't. You know, God made me. Well, he made you to do that. He made me to save them before you do that. But that's how sick it was. And when she told me, she had a photographic memory, a 16-year-old. Well, Americans were there in the gymnasium buying us girls. What? What do you mean, Americans? Well, I looked down. I said, well, you can't look down. I lifted up they had her bandana around her. And I saw this one man with so many $100 bills, he couldn't even close his fists. And he's an American. I said, no, you mean English accent? No. New Zealand? Australia? What? No, American English. There are Americans over there buying you girls, is there? It's gone way too far. And I hope you get recruited by the Holy Spirit, by the real CIA, the Christians in Action. And that you'll do whatever he asks you to do, not politically, not militarily, but heavenly from your heart of what he has done for you. You'll be so honest and truthful looking them in the eyes, they'll believe you. And I know that's hard sometimes to look people in the eyes when we're feeling guilty or horrible about ourselves. Don't be arrogant about yourselves. Be grateful that God has spared you and you want to give that same love to the people that need it the most. Make sense? All right. So they cast dust on their head. They cried and they saw the smoke of her burning. What city is great like this? They cast dust. Alas, alas, that great city. We were made rich. All that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. But in 1 hour, she's wiped out. 1 hour has to be something horrendous. Rejoice over her, and this causes heaven to rejoice, you holy apostles, you prophets, for God has avenged you on her. A mighty angel took up a stone, a great millstone, cast it in the sea, crying out, with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. The voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all. I'm going to ask Holland to come back up so I can still get music here. And no craftsman of whatever industry is gone. Entertainment is gone. You shall be found in this anymore, the sound of a millstone. There'll be no more business at all. And then the light of a candle shall no longer shine in her at all. The voice of the bridegroom, the bride, shall be heard no more at all in you. And your merchants were the great men of the earth. It's got to be us. For by their sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. We'll leave this evening with that and finish in next week. But I just beg you, you'll use your life to help the people that are blind. Help them see. Clearly, as Warren Wiersbe said, chapter 17 and 18 introduces to this Babylon, and it typifies the last great world system, and they just designed it that way when you read what we just read. In chapter 17, the emphasis is on the religious aspect of the system. In chapter 18, the commercial aspect. And both are totally wiped out. Remember what Timothy said? 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Do you think it's the love of legal brothels that bring people to Las Vegas? Do you think it's the free drunkenness that you can have in a free hotel room and play cards all night long and do whatever you want? What stays in Vegas, happens in Vegas, does not stay. It follows you home and it's in your mind. And God sees it in heaven. Every bit of evil is because somebody loves the dollar. Amen. And they'll sell their soul for another dollar. Before Howard Hughes died, I got to give him John 3:16 and how to be born again. And he was interviewed one time, he was the richest man at his time in the 70s. And he was interviewed and they said, "Mr. Hughes, when is money enough?" He said, "Just one more dollar." And what people won't do for that extra dollar because of what they need to do with the dollar, because of their addiction or because of their greed or their bitterness. The root of all evil is in the system. Don't be deceived by it. The truth is in the cross. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And He was crucified for our evilness, not His own. And He was buried and rose from the dead. And He's calling us to follow Him and let Him assign us to what He's created us for.